Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be construed as medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. And, of course, welcome back to another episode of Saturday Night Live Stream. Hope you guys are having a lovely day. I had an incredible dinner with some brand new friends. I don't know if they're watching, but just wanted to say thank you very much to Lori and Thomas. Happy birthday, Lori. Thank you for asking us to go out and meet your family. Really, really appreciate it. Jerry and Suzette as well. And, good times. Florida is amazing. And tonight, I'm extremely excited about the topic of conversation. My friends, Gary Fielder and Ernie Walker, returning guests, coming back on the show. You know them as the lawyers behind the Dominion Voting Systems class action lawsuit. Of course, as many people predicted in the lower courts, they were maligned, they were defamed, they were stonewalled, and now we have finally reached the point at which this case is going to be before the U.S. Supreme Court. And I ask the question in the trailer and here on the thumbnail, is this our last chance for justice? There is a lot at stake right here, and I hope that you guys are ready to get down to brass tacks. Do me a favor, don't forget to like and share the broadcast. Help me out by getting it out there on your favorite social media platform, whether it's on Truth Social, Getter, Gab, Twitter, any of those platforms. I'm still not back on Twitter, guys. I'd love to know in the chat if you're in Twitter, if you're back on Twitter, rather, for sponsoring the program. And please join me in welcoming our guests for this evening one more time. And there's the correct button. Gary Fielder and Ernie Walker. Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Doing great, Zach. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. We're doing real good. Thank you.
Well, it's so good to see you guys. You guys are a hit with the audience and certainly a hit with me. The work that you're doing, I think it's invaluable. And it's been set apart from a number of other court cases that people have attempted to bring regarding Dominion voting systems and some of the larger issues surrounding it. Certainly for the fact that you have made it much farther than any of those other cases, anybody that else that I can imagine. Let's begin with you, Gary. Please tell me what has happened since the last time you guys were on the show.
Well, I can't remember exactly when we were on. I think we were on after we had lost in the 10th Circuit or in and around that area. And it was so important because, you know, it wasn't a very long decision. They didn't get into the issue of state action, and they didn't really talk about whether a voter had standing. They found that the claim was a so-called generalized grievance. And you can't file a generalized grievance against government. But as we've shouted from the rooftops on every show that we've had with you, is you can't extend that concept of generalized grievance to private side actors, because of course they can be sued for money damages. Mm-hmm. So we've always kind of said the obvious, but it's always really been about, well, you know, the claim is frivolous, although that's not really the point. The point is, do you have standing or not? I mean, you know, if you say you don't have standing, that doesn't even really touch the issue of whether the claim is valid. So the issue of standing, it seems to be an obvious one. Now, I want to make something clear. We've filed our petition for writ of certiorari, but of course they don't have to take the case. I will say that as far as I can read the court's order, responses are due from Facebook and CTCL and Dominion Voting Systems on October 31st, which I think is Monday or Tuesday of this week. So, I mean, they're going to now have to respond and address these issues of state action and the standing of the plaintiffs and the court's jurisdiction. The court doesn't have jurisdiction to handle 1983 claims for citizens against private companies. Do you see the ludicrousy of this? So the whole point is, if they take the case, it changes the face of human history. If they don't take the case, well, then we're kind of back to the, you know, trial court. Maybe we could now try to amend the complaint. It's been over a year and a half since the complaint was dismissed. So obviously based on new evidence, but anytime you see these establishment politicians debate, they always say, well, will you denounce any claim to being an election denier? And so in the mainstream, we're still sadly in that category. So part of the reason the Supreme Court needs to grant the petition is to give the issue some legitimacy and get us out of the gutter in that regard.
Absolutely. Let's settle it at the highest court in the land. I have a comment that I want to make about that. But first, I need to say thank you to SpaceShot76, who says, support your awesome independent journalist, please. SpaceShot, it's so good to see you out there. Thank you very, very much for your continued support. Mike actually gave me my start in podcasting in a manner of speaking, because he had a big channel. He told his friends that I was making videos, and the rest is history. So I really appreciate you coming in here and hanging out with us, Mike. So what you just said there about election deniers and the idea of this being part of some fringe right-wing conspiracy. What's really interesting, guys, is that Hillary Clinton just put out a video the other day warning her followers. She calls them indivisibles. I suppose that's the antithesis of deplorables. And she said that Republicans are already planning to steal the next election in 2024. I don't know what she thinks is going to happen here in 2022, but the process that is happening behind the scenes, it also relates to the Supreme Court. But do you think that it gives your argument any credence to at least have someone consider it? Now that we have people on the left also, you know, talking about fears of potential election fraud.
Well, I think even Joe Biden has questioned the 2022 election integrity and has suggested that there could be possible election interference. So I think there are, and even before the 2020 election, there were widespread belief among Democrats and Republicans that believed that the elections weren't secure. So on its face, it should be recognized as a fallacy from the beginning that suddenly from November 3rd, 2020 until now, one party believes this was the most secure election in history, and the other party mostly believes it was not.
Yeah, certainly.
I think even Democrats, when you look at the polling now, even like more than a third of Democrats believe that there was enough interference in the election to change the outcome. And certainly a majority of the population believes that enough shenanigans took place to alter the outcome of the election. So it's almost laughable to be called an election denier or to say that somehow that one election was crystal clean and every other election in history is not.
Yeah, I saw some polling the other day. I think it was talking about the top 20 issues for Americans. And the third on the list among all people in every party was election integrity, ensuring the security of our elections. And although that may mean something different at the end of the day to a Democrat than it does necessarily to a Republican, it truly is a nonpartisan issue. We have to ensure that our elections are administered in a completely unbiased, free and fair manner. And when you have private corporations acting in the capacity of a state actor and tipping the scales one way or the other, I mean, yeah. right there, yeah. I think that's an excellent argument to say that our elections are not free and fair. They have not been unbiased. And, you know, to me, that's why this case is so important.
Well, and plus, the idea that the technology is not going to be turned on the other side.
Right.
So today it's in their benefit. But when it really is turned on them, not just in some way that could be perceived, but actually is turned on them, how do they know that's not part of the setup? That's how your so-called Hitlers get elected, mm-hmm. is to create a bunch of momentum over here and then create even more momentum over here, and then use the technology, now that it's been so blessed, to go all the way back over there and elect whoever they want on the other side. This has never been about being a Republican or a conservative, for that matter, or a Christian or anything. Mm-hmm. But it has everything to do with being a living United States citizen eligible to vote and did vote in the election. You can't say that that person doesn't have standing to go to court and say these private companies violated my rights. Even if they didn't, he has or she has standing to say they did. Mm-hmm. So with the evidence that we have, we sort of instinctively, didn't you instinctively think that something like True the Vote would come out? Well, didn't you think that someone's going to figure this out?
Yes.
You know, and I
yes.
kind of bet on them. We kind of bet that, hey, they're going to figure this thing, or we're going to figure it out. Look what those attorney generals are doing in Louisiana and Missouri. That was me and Ernie at the same time over in Denver doing the exact same thing, setting mm-hmm. depositions mm-hmm. of, yes, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, Priscilla Chan. I mean, you know, setting the depositions, ordering discovery. Just because we're not attorney generals doesn't mean our clients can't file 1983 actions. That's ludicrous. You get attorneys, of course they can bring a claim.
Can you define a 1983 action for people maybe who haven't heard that term before?
Here is what it oddly is, if you want to, you know, dip into it a little bit. When the so-called corporation was created in 1871 and the 14th Amendment was passed and you had all these federal citizens, well, you had to give them a way to exercise their rights. So the Civil Rights Act of 1871 was created, and it allowed any U.S. citizen to sue any person acting under color of authority that violated his or her rights. So what I've always found amazing is if I had a client, but let's say I had an African-American client and his rights were violated and the drugs got suppressed and we walked out like, yeah, we won the case. Your rights were violated. He would just go home and go back to work. Mm-hmm. He never sued. He should have been down at the federal court the next day. I feel bad. You know, we've gotten out of this idea that when a person violates your rights, you get to sue that person. Mm-hmm. Haven't we been talking about this, you know, from the beginning? It's not Governor Whitmire. It's Gretchen that violated everybody's rights. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe she didn't, but we have standing to say she did. And it would be an individual claim against another living individual for their estate. And so those rights are outlined, you know, First Amendment, right to due process, right to have your vote counted. You see, well, you know, this is what we've been saying. Yeah. So actually, we're not trying to carve out a new area of law or invent anything new. This is kind of tried and true. We were just selected because we could not be allowed to exist. Mm-hmm. We had to get just crushed. And they had to sanction us and dismiss us and hope that we went away. And so, yeah, if the Supreme Court just doesn't want to hear it and then we're thrown back in the briar patch, we'll have to deal with it. But the sanctions issue, which does mean a lot to us, is still on appeal. And then that would go to the Supreme Court. But it just seems like if they would take the case, just with the issue of standing, I think that the country would greatly benefit, because it would put all these private companies on notice that if you want to work with a state in its election process, then you're going to be held to the level of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. You can't claim that you're a private actor and that you're just a for-profit vendor and that you can't be sued under the Constitution. It seems almost obvious that you can. So yeah. That would change everything. That would change the matrix of everything. And it would just remind mm-hmm. people that they always had those rights. They just don't exercise them enough. And when, and you know, I guess I'm not encouraging people to be suit happy, but on the other hand, it would deter the government from violating people's rights. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what we're talking about.
And that's the whole purpose of 1983, really, is to not only compensate the person whose rights were violated, but it's to enact change within the government so that procedures are changed or whatever. And that's primarily why attorney's fees are paid as part of the award in a 1983 claim, because oftentimes, even in our case, we're claiming nominal damages, right? So nominal damages is very little to one person, but their rights were still violated. Mm-hmm. And unless an attorney who is able to get paid is willing to take that case, nobody's rights are ever going to get vindicated. So the law was enacted that way so that it encourages attorneys to take cases that are there to defend people's rights, even where the money damages aren't necessarily that significant. But it's more, like I said, to enact change.
Can you tell us or give us an example of how this has been used in cases in the past, or maybe, you know, successful examples, or maybe times where people tried it and they didn't allow it to go through?
Okay, this is what we've been saying from the beginning, which is so critical, and all of your audience understands it, but it's just critical to pound home. Brown v. Board of Education. Now, the young plaintiff, the perfect plaintiff, you know, went to the Kansas, you know, school board, tried to get desegregation, failed, went to the state court, failed, went to the United States Supreme Court, and was successful in a civil rights action. Mm-hmm. 42 USC 1983 claim. Now, that was to enjoin a government, okay, from doing something against the Constitution, that mm-hmm. is, not offering equal education based upon race. That was through the injunction powers of the court. So they're rarely used. And it's something that if you're going to try to get the state of Colorado to stop doing something, it, basically you can't sue for damages, but you can always sue a state in federal court to try to enjoin them from doing something against you. Now, if you're on the private side, so back to the detective example, I mean, detectives do get sued. The person in the George Floyd case, he got prosecuted, and the government brought civil rights cases on behalf of the family because his civil rights were violated by having the knee on his neck and all that other stuff. So yeah, the detective got sued. Now, in his personage. So if there's lack of training, you can slurp in the municipality, but you still can't really sue the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You could sue Milwaukee or Minneapolis, whatever it was. But do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. The state is always immune to the 11th Amendment from money damages. So when we sued these private entities, we were mixed in with the other cases, like Sidney Powell's cases, right, and Lynn Wood's cases, that were asking the federal government to enjoin these states from doing this or that. We were just suing the private side companies. So we weren't being cute. We were doing it right. We were bringing the cases under the 1983 private side action for damages against state actors. So our model, and you can look this up on Google Scholar, because of course they didn't print it, was a case called Bruce Bauman v. the Federal Reserve. You go to Google Scholar and just type in Bruce Bauman with two N's v. Federal Reserve of Kansas City. Bruce was on the sidewalk in Denver, and a private Federal Reserve officer came out and interacted with him and ultimately arrested him off the sidewalk. Well, we actually got the Federal Reserve to come in to court and say, no, we're a private side. We have court documents. Well, they said, no, our private security officers are just private security officers. But once he went onto the public sidewalk and started interacting with a United States citizen, not in the property of the private Federal Reserve, but the public sidewalk, that made him a state actor. So when Facebook entered voluntarily onto the public sidewalk of our elections with Mark and his wife and CTCL, all in a conspiracy, they transformed into state actors. So they were persons acting under color of official authority, and our clients are the United States citizens who claim their rights are violated. So we're working under the statute as it was really intended. The whole point of enjoining a state came later. That came later. That's called a ex parte Young fiction. That was just a way that states could be enjoined to create this sort of fiction. But the real 1871 Act, guess what it was really about? It was about being able to sue the mayor who was a Ku Klux Klan person. So when he violated your rights, you could sue him personally. You see what I mean? It was called the Ku Klux Klan Act. That's what it was all about. Private side actors acting under color of official authority. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. So a police officer that violates someone's rights is personally liable, and his department is liable if they failed to train him properly or they shouldn't have hired him. That's the two ways you can pierce the veil on that.
Well, you know what I'm...
That's how it's done.
I am immediately reminded of a very recent case from Texas, Houston or Dallas, if I'm not mistaken. Police officer responded to a call at a local McDonald's. He saw a vehicle that he believed had evaded him the night before or several nights before. And without running the plate or even attending to the initial reason for the call, he went over to the 17-year-old kid sitting in the car with his girlfriend eating a Big Mac, opened the door, immediately told the kid to get out, started grabbing him. The kid threw it into reverse and took off, and the cop like shot like 17 rounds into this kid's car, severely wounding him mortally. I believe he's still in intensive care. He may have died by this point. Didn't hit the girl, thank God. But clearly, I mean, this guy was not trained in the manner that he should be, or he was just incredibly stupid. I mean, his life was never in danger. There was no reason to do that. You know, this is not something that you would ever consider as a law enforcement officer using deadly force to go after somebody. So, they fired him immediately. But I mean, this is something that I would imagine perhaps the young man, if he survives, he could use the same type of reasoning here.
Right.
And, now imagine that case. Those two people in that car would likely have a 1983 claim against that police officer. Okay, now, to kind of put that into context with our case, imagine that police officer shot six more people on the side of the road. Those people would also have claims, right?
Yep.
And if he shot 20 more people, he would have those 20 people would have claims, right? Now, do you think there would be a point where he shot enough people where there would no longer be liability facing that police officer? Like, if he shot 100 million people, do you think he would be not liable anymore?
No.
That's our case.
That's a generalized grievance. Yeah, that's just our case, a generalized grievance.
And that's what the court has called the generalized grievance. The police officer shooting 100 million people is a generalized grievance.
And of course, you would sue him personally, too. You could say, well, he doesn't have any money. Well, Facebook has money.
Facebook.
I'm sorry, but you know, I mean, so maybe you
Well, maybe not
him.
Anymore. You know, in the last couple of weeks.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But you see my point.
Absolutely.
There's no difference between Facebook, the corporate person, and the police officer, the regular person. And only in the shooting style cases would someone even think to sue. But really, if you're being stopped illegally. You know, even cursed, that's where the nominal damages come from. Oh, you weren't damaged. He just got you out of the car and patted you down, and they sent you on your way. Mm-hmm. Well, that's worth $10, you know, and he wouldn't do it again if you sued him. And your attorney got $10,000 in attorney's fees, and the city would settle it. So do you see what I mean? It mm-hmm. could be abused, you see. But in the end, it really discourages police. And I've seen the good side of BLM has really been to discourage the police. You probably felt it in your own life. Police are now a little bit more standoffish mm-hmm. than they were, you know, 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
When they come up on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of crazy because, it's had a polarizing effect, just as so much has in recent memory. You know, certainly, I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today, and they said that the reason everything popped off, by and large, is because, you know, people were sick and tired of feeling like, you know, they were watching people be murdered and victimized and nothing would happen. You know, I would say that although that definitely has happened to the Black community in America and the Hispanic community and the Asian community, maybe to a lesser degree, it's also happened to the white community. And that kind of gets lost in the scuffle. I think the problem that we have here is at officers and peacekeepers that have been overzealous at times, and they've done stupid things. They have hurt people. They have murdered people, and you know they got away with it. But it's no different to me than the same way that we see politicians and other people in power breaking
exactly
the law
right.
and getting away with
that's
it.
Exactly right.
It is just it's the same scenario, but just on a different day. It's criminality, it's corruption, and it's the elite, whatever situation they're in, whether it's elite on a low level or elite on a national level, and they get what they want because they have some connection to power. You know, it's the haves and the have-nots, and basically all of us are the ones who ain't got shit, and certainly we don't have our rights because they took that away in 2020.
Well, and I will also say that the reason we filed the lawsuit is because although in the Bauman matter, that was on different grounds for the establishment of state action, that was called joint action, where normally you are a private side actor, but in your joint action of participating in an arrest and calling the Denver PD and having him charged, plus we found that they perjured themselves. Somebody was videoing it and the officer didn't know it.
Yeah.
So he perjured himself. So those are different issues. Our approach has been the so-called public function test, which is the issue of a private entity involved in the election process.
Mm-hmm.
So not everything is state action. It wouldn't make people sue happy. Plus, there's all kinds of doctrines. There's judicial immunity, legislative immunity, prosecutorial immunity. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wouldn't encourage lawsuits of all types, but it would help public service style class actions, because if the people felt like they could immediately amass in a class, we could have done something about these masks and the vaccines and the mandatory shots had we been better equipped to come at a class action, a 1983 class action.
Yeah.
So that's why our case is so important, because even if our case is about elections and Dominion and blah, 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 do the people have standing to come in a class when persons acting under color of official authority are violating their rights? It seemed like there'd be an enormous vindication of rights, and you could really get these big companies under control. And so that it's a big deal. It's a really, really big deal.
No, it's huge. You know, it's I'm really interested to see what the court. I mean, obviously, I think all of us are, and certainly you guys. But, you know, it's like, I have seen cases brought, civil rights cases, you know, somebody's civil rights being violated because they were held, you know, without warrant, or they had their property seized, or, you know, they were gravely injured and murdered. And as a result, you know, they were denied their civil rights because they're no longer alive. You know, so why is it that only certain civil rights under certain conditions are allowed to be addressed? You know, I mean, like, nobody wants to talk about certain things, but our right to vote, our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know, that can't happen if we're not actually choosing our own elected officials, you know, if they're being selected for us, or if we don't have the confidence in that system. because right. the system that's in place is uncertified, uncertifiable, provides backdoors to right. You know, threats from foreign nations, or in the case that we just found with Connect and True the Vote, you know, giving private personal identifying information to the Chinese and then having it connected to the qualified voter database. So, you know, I mean, like, there is a number of different ways that we have foreign actors inside of our American election system. And it's connected to, you know, all of these different pieces, no matter how, I guess, you know, tangentially or how tenuously the connections are there and our rights are being violated. And we have to be able to find some way to have that addressed. So you're right. This is the linchpin. I mean, this would drastically change so many different things. With mm-hmm. regard to the filing, you said your writ of certiorari, if I pronounced that correctly.
Close enough.
Okay, so explain what that is and what did you guys state in it?
It's basically a request to the Supreme Court asking them to review our case on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a mandatory review like at the Tenth Circuit. When you get your first appeal, you get to appeal, and they don't get to turn it down. But then your second appeal, it's up to the Supreme Court on whether or not they will actually accept it. And they actually turn down the vast majority of the cases that come to them seeking review. Just from the onset, the odds of us making it to Supreme Court review are low. Although, because of the issues involved in this case, I think we do have an elevated chance of being selected.
And if I might say, there's a couple of websites that people can go to see the actual documents. Of course, you can find them on the Supreme Court website. But if you go to dominionclassaction.com, we put all the big pleadings on there, good and bad, on there. And then you can go to saveoursuffrage.vote. I think that's what SOS.vote, Save Our Suffrage. That's a nonprofit that also posts articles and other information about the situation. And go read the petition. Go to Dominion Class Action and just thumb through it. It's beautifully written. You know, going over it, you know, like any document at the very last, we noticed a couple of typos here and there, but we're still humans, but it's beautifully formatted and it gives you a nice, good, readable outline. And I'm really proud of the document. We spent really a good month. We probably should have spent 2 months, but we were busy. But we spent a good month piecing it together. We got it filed with no extension, and it's a beautiful document. So go to dominionclassaction.com and just look at it, read it. You can thumb through it. And again, it's beautifully formatted, and you can go through it and see the arguments, and they're well crafted. And once you understand how important the issue is, I think the very end too, like the last closing paragraph or two, really good stuff. Ernie and I spent a lot of time on it. So really good stuff. And Ernie's a member of the court, signed it as the counsel of record, and it's just a really good document. And we're really proud of it. So it's not over. But I will say that the case was dismissed without prejudice. It was dismissed without prejudice, and the statute of limitations runs in like 2 weeks. So we're the only case that I'm aware of that's for damages against these state actors, these specific CTCL, Facebook, and others with regard to damages concerning the 2020 presidential election. That was almost 2 years ago. Believe that?
No, it's nuts. I mean, I honestly can't believe that we are just days away from the midterm election. And, you know, this is a slightly different scenario. You know, we were talking in the pre-show before. I mean, I'm fairly certain in places like Michigan, they're going to do their damnedest to ensure that the outcome that they reach is the outcome they had previously decided on. So, you know, mm-hmm. certain candidates may not be able to get through. But at the same time, I'm really hoping that that people in all of these states, every single state where there's a midterm, they're going to show up in overwhelming numbers. We were also saying before the show, and I've said this on the air to the audience before, the RNC just recently mentioned that they had certified 70,000 or more new poll watchers that are going to be on site. These are 70,000 people who simply weren't there in 2020. 70,000 eyes, 70,000 pairs of eyes that didn't watch what was happening in the 2020 election. And so therefore, you know, it was far easier for them to steal it and to do whatever they could to trample all over our rights. So, you know, it could be a different scenario this time. I mean, you guys are in Colorado and, Gary, you're in Colorado rather. And, you know, I've had a number of candidates on the show who were running in Colorado, Tina Peters being among them. Peter, I'm sorry, I forgot his last name, but Peter's a good guy. He was running for Tina Peters' old spot in Mesa County clerk and recorder. All of those candidates, they seem to have had the same algorithmic anomalies affecting their primary ballots as we had happen in the 2020 election. So I think that goes to show you right there. Anytime there is a state that has a very close connection to a company like Dominion or such, unfortunately, they just keep it rolling through.
They just keep it rolling through. And there's so much to talk about, but you know, in the end, we need to come back after the election because we personally, here's what's happening. I just can't tip my hand on this issue. When the recount was going on 2 months ago, I was involved in helping those El Paso County clients, sue for their rights and to do the recount right. Mm-hmm. And they got poo-pooed all the way down the line. They got sabotaged. They got attacked by the press. They got the attorney general, you know, making kind of claims that the district court bought, and they basically got dismissed out because the whole point was in Colorado, the recount allows you to have a hand recount of certain instruments, selected instruments. Mm-hmm. And they just ran the same ballots through the same instruments. They did it totally wrong.
Right.
So now we're going to go back in before the election with different candidates. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. That issue is not over.
No,
that issue is not over because in the end, whether they count them right or they count them wrong, what I saw was political power. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw. So even if it came out that they count the dots right, that doesn't account for the political power these reps have. You know, the so-called technicians that interact with the secretaries of state and these gigantic contracts that they have with these municipalities and these counties. I mean, they're enormous. Yeah. So there, it's more about this unchecked power, which is why we outlined that in our petition, because that's the real reason the Supreme Court needs to grant us standing. Because if the people don't have the ability to keep those private corporations under control, how can we ever elect officials to keep them under control? It's all over but the crying if we can't do our job on the judicial end. So I think that dependent upon what happens in the next 2 weeks, my prediction, I'm not suggesting this should happen, but my prediction is chaos, pure chaos, all on purpose, because mm-hmm. that's how we really mm-hmm. stoke it. That's how we really get the left all fired up and really get the right all fired up and get them all hating each other, is just to cause more and more chaos. And that's what we've really been talking about is, you know, we didn't say we should do civil war. We said we should solve it in a courtroom. Mm-hmm. But we observed that if you don't get this under control, that just might happen. So well, the judge accused us of fomenting violence when we were just predicting what was going to happen. And I'm afraid that our predictions are all coming true.
Well, that's
what's happening.
It's not unlikely, you know, and it's not like you guys are the first people to have ever said that. Certainly right. not in recent right. years. I mean, the mainstream media has been playing right. around with the possibility of an American Civil War for some time. Right. I would argue that that's exactly what they want. I mean, it'll be far easier to control everyone and everything if there erupts some, violent infighting amongst two different political yeah. parties all over America. Bunch of people yeah. get murdered. They can rush right in. They can take our guns. guns. They can institute martial law. They can put the military on the street, a bunch of trans army recruits, and they can shut everything down. And then we'll never have to worry about elections ever again. And the mainstream media will be very, very happy about that.
No, because China will walk in after the dust settles and just buy up everything, and it won't matter.
Well, they've almost done it already. It's incredible the amount of land that they've been able to buy up here in the United States. And the fact that, like, virtually nobody says anything about it. You know, I mean, like, I would think at the heart of the argument, allowing the Chinese Communist Party to purchase land inside the United States, like any amount of land, that's a national security threat as far as I'm concerned. But their strategic purchase of land inside the United States, near military bases or like technological centers. I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. I mean, you know, I guess it's not really that crazy if people within our government are closely aligned with the Chinese Communist Party and not aligned with the people of America.
Well, I will say this, too, because this is just an observation. And the great thing about your show is we can just sit around and chat, maybe even off topic, because to me, one of the big issues and my resolution for every single issue is, well, we need to elect our way out of it. If we have a problem with war, we need to elect our way out of it. If we have a problem with pensions or Social Security, we need to elect the people that need to handle that. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're too small to handle it. But I'm sensing that they just can't pay the pensions. And there are so many people on pensions that they don't want to rock the boat. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they all see it happening. But at least as long as the system survives, they'll get the check. You see what I mean? And so they've got all these ex-government people all on pensions. They can't rock the boat. They can't protest. They can't say, hey, China, knock it off. They know that if this thing comes tumbling down, that they're going to be the first to really suffer. Because we out here in the real world kind of ready for it. But they're not ready to have their paycheck cut off, their pension cut off. So the other side would be there's always a political solution. You know, we always think it's going to be like death and disaster, and it never is. There's always another deal. But now that we're spending $2 trillion, next year they'll have to figure out how to spend $5
trillion. Right.
And then the next year they'll have to figure out how to spend $10 trillion. Mm-hmm. It sounds easy until you really put the pen to paper and you really got to figure out how you're going to spend $10 trillion, because in like 2026, they're going to have to spend $30 trillion just to keep it up. And so that's how they do it. They get into these wars and they do these programs and Obamacare, whatever it takes to spend the money into existence, because if they don't continue to spend the money into existence, that's when it collapses. So that's what people are saying, that yes, I know that we've been squawking for 20 years about it, but in the end, how much further can this rubber band be stretched? It's just unbelievable.
That's the question, isn't it? You know, I mean, I thought the United States was going to collapse a long time ago. Right, I can't believe how far they've been able to take it. You know,
and so it'll be all right.
A lot of people have thought that, you know, the global criminal cabal that's running the U.S. government, you know, their intention was to destroy America. You know, but the longer this goes on, the more that I think the intention is really just to keep taking America to the breaking point and like get you to the absolute edge of exhaustion where you want everything to just stop. And then they'll give a little bit of relief and then they'll continue on. And it is just that stretching of the rubber band. You know, they get a little bit further out, you know, that tension, it eases off a little bit and then they can pull it a little bit more. And so, you know, how long before we finally get to the end? That's really the question.
I think it can't be much longer. I mean,
yeah, it can.
I mean, it really can't be much longer. things are collapsing everywhere.
You don't know. That's one side of your consciousness said something, and then the other side of your consciousness said the exact opposite. Yeah. I mean, bread will be $10 a loaf. I mean, that's clear. A gallon of gas will be $10, you know, and that rubber band will be stretched to its bitter end. But that might take 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's why if we had an election, then we would be we would be electing a bunch of Rand Paul types, right? Mm-hmm. To really go in there and go, okay, all right, let's manage this collapse and let's do it right. But instead, we elect these hyenas who come in for the last feeding, right? And they bail out. I mean, so that's why it's so important. We could elect our way out of this crisis if we could just do it, if we could just elect our way out instead of having the doubt of the election machines and all of this extra ballots and all of this, these drop boxes and all these weird laws. It's just so disheartening, but because otherwise it's just going to be more of the same and more of the same. And then, yeah, what Ernie was talking about is the mathematical certainty. I mean, that's just it. Cause that's the plan. Mm-hmm. And they got it all planned out. They got it all planned out.
And that's why the right to vote is really so critical, is because the power of the American government resides with the people. And the people transfer authority on a limited basis to the representatives in government through their vote. And unless there's a legal vote, there's not a legal transfer of authority to those representatives from the people in order to act as our government representative. So it's critical that that vote be accurate. Otherwise, it's not a legal transfer of power from the people to the representatives.
So let me ask you this. As I was saying earlier, it's kind of a different scenario with the midterms. You know, we've got all of these elections all across the United States. There's no uniform presidential ballot. They really only needed to steal the presidential election in five or six states. So in order to fix all of the races, Michigan, I am hoping for the best in Michigan. Okay, but I'm also preparing for the possibility that they may just go ahead and do exactly what they did in 2020. But I don't think that it's possible for them to do that all over the nation in the same way. Like, a lot of places have rejected universal mail-in ballots. A lot of places have begun to reject the drop boxes, because of the knowledge about CT, the Center for Civic Liberty or whatever they were.
CTCL.
Yeah. And Mark Zuckerberg.
Center for Tech and Civic Life. Pronounced it wrong. Now I know. Center for Tech and Civic Life.
CTCL. Center for Tech and Civic Life. Okay. But we have a lot of what I believe are really principled and strong candidates who are running not only on the idea of fixing America, but also just, strongly rebuking the agenda that the Democrats, the modern Democrats, have instituted here in America. And that means, Joe Biden. And I think a lot of people feel that the election was stolen. Many of these people that are going to be elected. If for some reason the Supreme Court does not want to take this up, is there any possibility that the new incoming Congress, new incoming Senate, House and Senate, is there any possibility that perhaps, they can take a look at what's happened here and maybe bring this up and somehow address it? Do you think that you could reach them in some fashion and say, hey, look at what's happened. They won't address this. It's not about the election being stolen necessarily. It's about our rights being infringed.
No, they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Mm. I mean, even now, that's what I was saying. When you're listening to these mainstream debates, they're still saying you need to denounce being an election denier, an alt election denier. And they say, I denounce all the election deniers. I mean, they, we're in the mainstream election denial. So if we don't get cert and we don't, they always say fix 2020. You got about 2 weeks. We're the only thing left. There's nothing fixing it. Do you think that Mitch McConnell is going to introduce articles of impeachment?
No.
There's no way. Now, if he's removed, we said this from the beginning of your show, too. If he's removed for incompetence, Kamala Harris is not eligible for vice presidency or presidency. And it won't be Nancy in about 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean? So that could just shift some weird deal. I mean, who knows what's in the end? I can't wait to be on your show a year from now, or maybe just 6 months from now, and just say, oh my God, can you imagine what just happened?
Oh, God, I hope.
None of us know. None of us really know. It's crazy. So that's why I want to be in court. I just want to do depositions. I just want it to be boring. I just want to get all the phone records from CTCL and all of these mayors and city council people and all the access that CTCL had to all the ballots and all the information and all of that true the vote stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How did all that get paid? It all got paid through that money that was being funneled down through Zuckerberg, through CTCL as one of multiple, there's multiple defendants that all trickled that money down to stuff those ballot boxes. And it's been proven through 2000 Mules. That's one of probably 100 other arguments as to how they stuffed that ballot box. And because there's clearly more votes than ballots sent out.
Mm-hmm.
And Pennsylvania is going to elect the governor, Josh Shapiro. I mean, he's one of the people that moved to sanction us. And so there's going to be, and I'm telling you, I predict as a sociologist that Governor Whitmer is just going to win. And as there's not, you know, there won't be anything Michigan can do about it. And then believe me, there won't be any election integrity out of that governor's office. Mm-hmm. And poor Matt, he's going to give it his best, but somehow he's going to come up a little short. And then the attorney general will be locked in. And then in Colorado, Polis is going to win and Jenna's going to win. Do you see what I mean? I mean, they got a lot of the lockdown. It's pretty well locked down. And then all of these rhinos, what do they really do? They're not going to do anything. And so here we're going to go into 2024. If we don't get cert and we're just shoved out of the way, then we're going to have 2024. Mm-hmm. And guess who's not going anywhere? A big 6'3" guy with purple orange hair. He's not going anywhere. And so he's going to be on the stage and it's just going to be madness. And so because we're not going to have done it where if they gave a cert, then we would have opened up the can of worms to show everybody that it's not legitimate, that we need to go a different pathway. And that would have given us a couple of years to do it right. But we don't have that now. It'll be more of the same in 2 years.
And this is why it's really important too, because in a normal case, one of the arguments, I guess, for why a generalized grievance isn't something you can recover in a court is because the argument is, well, it's up to the legislature to fix those errors. And so in our case, we obviously see there's no legislature that's going to fix the errors that occurred from 2020. You know, mm-hmm. we've been 2 years now and they won't even touch it. So we're truly left as victims who have been harmed and we have no remedy based on the current status of the case, unless the Supreme Court accepts our case and overturns to grant us standing, we'll be left without any remedy.
And then the people from True to Vote are possibly having to go to jail here in just like 48 hours.
I mean,
they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. And I could call them communist or whatever, leftist, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But we never take sides. We don't really care about the sides. But I'm telling you, the infiltrators, the so-called left, they're not ever going to give up. This could be the biggest landslide of all time. They're not going to give up. They'll keep going. They'll keep doing something else. They'll keep causing another distraction. And so who knows where it's going to be. This all should have been handled in a civil fashion, should have been handled through our case. And then we would have gotten discovery. And, you know, we'd probably had 20 lawyers helping us right now and really moving on the case. And we would have discovered a lot. Because they are involved in state action. But instead, they went out and arrested people like Tina Peters, and they violated the rights of people that asked for recounts. And that's still not over yet. But the bottom line is, you know, I don't know. Are they going to indict Mike Lindell? Are they going to indict him for you know, some of his activity of interacting with the infrastructure? Doesn't take a genius to figure out that they could if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to give them any ideas. They got plenty of ideas, believe me. So could they indict Ernie Walker and Gary Fielder? I mean, do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, they could do just about anything they wanted to do if they just did it, because that's what they do. So that's not gonna be over. That'll be more of the strain that is going to continue to exist well past this election, well past what's going to happen in 10 days.
It's a scary world. You know, I think that people are like stuck in the middle of like two opposing viewpoints. Either everything's effed and there's no coming back, or we just hold out a little bit longer and things will be fine. You know, I try to be as optimistic as possible. I truly do believe that there have to be good people out there still. And I think the Supreme Court has always been our best bet at finally reaching some type of, an ending to this question of whether or not people had rights violated. You know, so tell us what you think about, you can give me your specific comment, but I also want to know your thoughts on individual justices and how they might perceive your argument. And is it up to the entire SCOTUS whether or not it's going to be heard, or is this just like one justice that is overseeing that portion of the United States and they make the decision and then you guys find out?
It takes four to get cert, five to win.
Okay.
Is that right, Ernie?
That's right. That's right.
So do you want to comment on that first, Ernie?
I think the justice, in my opinion, who's most likely to be in our camp is Clarence Thomas. And I say that because I think at least three of his decisions are relied upon heavily by us in our case. So I almost felt like in the months leading up to and even shortly after the election, there were cases that Clarence Thomas wrote the opinion on. And ultimately, there were issues in those cases that I think directly impacted the path of our case. And one of them had to do specifically with a person who had their religious rights violated on a college campus. And they were suing for nominal damages. And they were dismissed all the way through because they said he had no injury. And it was a Clarence Thomas decision that said, no, he had his rights violated and nominal damages is sufficient to plead that case,
And what is nominal damages, though? What does that mean? He gets paid some amount of money, but it's not much?
That means it could be a dollar. Okay. It literally could be a dollar. It's basically recognition that, yes, your rights were violated, but there's really not a quantifiable money damage that the court can pin to. But that's when the other part of 1983 kicks in, where the attorney fees do become part of the award. So, in this gentleman's case, for example, likely no attorney would take that case to the Supreme Court. You know, he had nominal damages, you know, like a dollar's worth of damages potentially. And, you know, often those cases are taken on a, you know, contingency basis, or somebody's got to have a big, deep pocket to pay at some hourly rates. And there aren't very many attorneys that can afford to take those kind of cases without at least some possibility of a payment at the end. There's some charities that do that kind of work, but there's so many of those kind of cases where people have their rights violated that the courts want to, the legislatures wrote the laws so that the attorneys who took those cases and were defending the rights of people who had their rights violated, they would be compensated for that work.
And that's not every single right, but your fundamental rights. If your right to free speech is really abridged by a state actor and you couldn't prove that you were damaged, you know, your reputation may not have been damaged, or, you know, your pocketbook wasn't damaged. The jury instruction says you must award a damage of at least a dollar. Mm-hmm. Well, the jury can say $10,000 or $20,000. I mean, so when we say nominal damages, we would never stand up on closing arguments and ask for a dollar. But the jury instruction says if someone's fundamental rights are violated, that in and of itself is the injury. Imagine a sheriff's deputy just stopping people in the neighborhood, just checking their ID. Well, most of the neighborhood would say, yeah, good. We like that. But not the person going, hey, man, what are you doing? Why are you stopping me? Well, what's your damage, really? Mm-hmm. You showed him your ID. You said, good afternoon, deputy. And you walked on. Well, your damages are, you know, probably $100 or $1,000 or $500. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would be hot if I was in my neighborhood and a deputy was out stopping the neighbors. But do you see what I mean? The jury might go, oh, but they can't just say zero. We think that your rights were violated, but we're not going to give you any money. The jury instruction says you must give me at least a dollar. So that's kind of the point. So they were making a big deal about nominal damages and we only asked for a dollar. No, the point was we could ask for $1 million per voter. Mm-hmm. I think that our damages are much more than a dollar per voter or $1,000 per voter.
Well, think about how much money people have lost overall since Joe Biden was, you know, ushered into Washington, D.C.
Well, we're about ready to get incinerated here. I think we're about ready to lose it all. Yeah. Don't forget that this is a real case against a real election. And the whole point was the 2020 presidential election. The president is the commander in chief. Mm-hmm. So here it is. We're all here. It's way beyond civil war. Now we're talking about world war. And we all know, although we're not necessarily Trump supporters, we don't support any candidate. But we all know that if former President Trump was the president, it would be a totally different landscape.
Yes.
He wouldn't be going down this Victoria Nuland, George Soros line of world war with Russia. And that's just all part of, they could not lose that election. They just couldn't lose that election. And they just pulled out all the stops to make sure that Biden was the president. And they did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And absolutely. That hurt us. That really hurt us, hurt our country, hurt us all bad.
So looking back, you can see they were setting up the whole Ukraine thing right before Trump was elected while Obama was president. You know, all kinds of people were John McCain headed over there, even, you know, stoking war thoughts anyway, and talking about sending money over there. And then all of a sudden things went on pause when Trump came into office.
That's right. It was supposed to be 8 years of Hillary, and this was supposed to be her second term. This was all planned out. So in the end, it's so important that we feel comfortable. Let's say Biden did win, and we're all wrong. That doesn't mean anything. We're all uncomfortable. We don't know that he won. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole point. Whether he won or lost is kind of irrelevant. No one knows whether he did or not. Mm-hmm. And so all of this doubt, the whole system is based upon trust. And each state needs to run their own election in however way they want to do it. You can't have these big, huge corporations in 38 of those states or 21 of those states or 42 of those states. Do you feel me?
Absolutely.
And if you do, well, then you better get.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Ready to be sued. Because you're involved in state action. So none of this is frivolous and none of it is sanctionable. It's all very, very real. And I don't know if we get denied, we're going to have to reassess and figure out what we're going to do. But in the end, I just think we'll find something else to do because we have to keep going. And thank God for you, Zach, because I mean, if we're not doing our thing, remember I've said from the beginning, we're all here to do it, just our little part. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're all doing it now. Twitter, you got to get back on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to post this on Twitter and see what happens.
Please.
And just see what happens. You got to get back on Twitter. I personally think Twitter is like dopamine. It's like a crack addiction. It's very, very scary.
Yes, it is.
I call it Mike Cernovich disease. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, like how can you tweet that much in one day?
Yeah.
But, and I love Gab because you can see the picture on Twitter. You just see the link.
Limit either.
Gab,
you know,
you can at least see the picture, you know?
Yeah.
So, get back on Twitter. But I think Facebook,
I'm not on Facebook. I'm enjoying Truth Social. You know, it's great having a lot of interaction over there. But yes, you know, there will be a certain amount of satisfaction to be able to get my original account back over there on Twitter. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happens. You know, if they reinstate your account, you know, like everybody you were following and all the people that followed you, like, are they still there? Yeah. Do you have to find them again? I don't know. But the fact that they kicked me off unceremoniously, said that I violated some terms and conditions, even though I had never been warned about anything. And I was very careful about the way that I presented myself and said things, you know. So real briefly, guys, before we open the phones for the callers, Fred Awakening over here on Rumble says, great discussion, gents. What are your thoughts on this Pelosi thing? Do you feel it was like a gender swipe right gone wrong, or a grinder swipe right gone wrong? Tough time buying some dude in his boxer shorts, eluded security with a hammer. Yeah, I am very suspicious about the manner in which this young man living in San Francisco in a nudist, commune ended up inside Paul and Nancy Pelosi's house in the middle of the night wearing only boxer shorts and evaded security, you know, broke through a window and the cops didn't come from that. Paul Pelosi had to call 911. That to me sounds like this guy was let into the house. And if Paul had been, you know, cruising on Grindr, that would, you know, that would be an explanation for that. But what are your thoughts on this?
Have we confirmed that it was not Hunter Biden?
Yeah. They have confirmed they named the suspect.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's, okay. You know what else is frustrating to me, guys? We have people out there who are like committing murders and rapes and, you know, like breaking into retail establishments, taking all of the inventory. They go to the police station, they get processed and they're let out immediately. Suddenly, a vicious attack with a hammer. This guy is, he's worse than Hitler, and he must be a Republican, and he's a crazy conspiracy theorist posting about, election interference and such. So, this guy is never going to leave prison, and I don't know that anybody's ever going to talk to him and, you know, determine why he did what he did. We're just going to have to hear what the official narrative is from them.
Well, one of the advantages that I have is that I've been practicing criminal law for 32 years, since 1990. Mm-hmm. And, having tried hundreds of jury trials and just thousands of clients and consultation with other lawyers talking about our crazy cases, you know, you see something like this. And when you see it from the perspective of the criminal defense attorney, it didn't take me but a couple of seconds to realize, like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. They're in there having a couple of drinks. You know what I mean?
Yep,
he needs some money. He doesn't have any money. Where's Nancy? I want to talk to Nancy. God damn it, where's Nancy? I want my fucking money. Oh, sorry. I want my money. You see what I mean? Just paraphrasing.
Like, I gave now, you the reach around,
that's
Paul.
Just my mind. So you can't sue me, and you can't be sued.
No.
I'm just telling you what's going through my criminal defense attorney mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't imagine that somehow you could break in and somehow, you know, he would call and say, hold on, let me call you back from the bathroom. You know how many domestic violence cases I've covered where mom says, hold on, let me call you from the bathroom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she goes into the bathroom and says, he's drunk. Could you get down here? Do you see what I mean? So, he's just a friend. Oh, no, he's just a friend. So I'm just thinking in my mind, like, well, obviously this is a consensual encounter gone wrong for whatever reason. And then things get broken and, you know, people yell back and forth. So is this guy going to be able to make his statement or we are just all wet and he really did break in? I mean, did he really break in?
And it also, and they also said that Paul Pelosi, it was his hammer. And he was apparently defending himself against this guy. He just happened to wrestle the hammer away from Paul at the exact moment the police arrived. You know, I don't know how many times he would have actually been able to beat Paul about the face and head. But, there is no irony lost on me that Paul Pelosi got hammered, literally, after driving hammered and smashing into another car just a couple of months ago. There was a rumored passenger in his vehicle. I speculated at that time perhaps it was another young man, lady of the evening even, maybe. Also, Low Country Brooklyn over here on Rumble says that now the FBI is involved, too. This is what the FBI has been reduced to. Solving random break-ins, or, you know, I guess it's a it's a conspiracy theorist. So this is truly a threat to national security. We'll have to see what happens. I don't know. I'm not buying any of it, though. All right. We've got
if the FBI is going in, you know, it's a staged situation. Well,
Yeah. The FBI is only there to mop up the mess. That's the only thing they're there to do. All right. We've got Rain, our first caller on the line. You guys, I don't even know how you two got on the line already because I hadn't even published the call information, but we're going to go ahead and give it out right now one more time. And I know I saw something that Rain had posted in the chat about having questions of her own about a legal matter that she is dealing with. And I think that she's hoping you guys can help her with that. Rain, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We've got you loud and clear. Good to hear you. And glad to have you back on the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back, Zach. Thank you for all the prayers you put forth through all our latest trials and tribulations, but we made it.
Okay, so yeah, what's going on?
Okay, well, as you know, we own Cajun Vapes and we make Bayou Swamp Juice, our own juice. And we were the first to do it here in Louisiana. The government didn't bother us until they started, wanting Juul to be the number one vaping device and tried to shut us down. So then they came after us for excise taxes, right? And we make our own juice, and they wanted us to give them a percentage of every bottle we make and then tax it at the register and then tax my net income at the end of the year, right? And I said no. And for 4 years, I refused to pay the excise tax, knowing that I would have to take this to court and fight it, which I would. I was willing to do that. Little did I know it would be in this political climate, but still, here we are. They audited us and the governor sent me a letter for $20,000. I quoted him some Supreme Court cases and told him to pound sand. Haven't heard back from him, but I've tried to find some attorneys to help me fight this, and I can't because they all say they have a conflict of interest because they represent the state, because it's the Louisiana Department of Revenue that I'll have to be embattled with. And so I don't know where to turn. I mean, do they all take an oath to the state, these lawyers? I mean, because the state's a corporation, right? I mean, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do.
So, yeah, guys, I mean, that sounds like a real conundrum, and I don't understand how that's supposed to work. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, if the state were the client, there would be conflicted. But I would find it hard to believe that every attorney has the state as a client and would be conflicted out.
Well, I mean, I haven't called every, but I've called about seven, and they've all told me it would be a conflict of interest because they are involved with the state at some levels. You know, these law firms, I guess some other lawyers may be representing the state. And so, I mean, this is just what I've been told. I'm not even sure if I should have gone civil, or tax, but they told me it would be a civil case,
Let me jump in and I can't really give you any advice, but I know, for example, that there's not many Gary Fielders in the world, and you can't always, and I'm not dishing Ernie. I'm just saying that in Colorado, he's from Michigan, and in Colorado, I get stretched thin a million different ways because I'm trying to help as many people as I can and run my practice and make payroll and support my family. And I would help you and spend 100 hours on your case if I had 2 seconds. But you just don't stop trying in terms of trying to get that solo practitioner that you can get a little money up, get a contingency fee or an hourly rate, be ready to pay a little bit. They do exist. You could go to saveoursuffrage.vote and leave us an email. We know people. We do need to be better in having a network of attorneys. And Ernie and I have, throughout this process, have been shocked at the lack of legal support this election integrity element. A lot of people have Telegram channels, but I want to see a ton of attorneys working hard, to ensure election integrity. And they do exist, but just not as many as I thought. I really thought that a lot of people would step up. So communicate with us. It really is hard because people are scared and they don't really know. They want to help, but they just really don't know. And then when lawyers like us get sanctioned or You know, they you know,
that's scary.
Like, Sidney Powell, your license,
yeah, it scares lawyers to death.
Yeah.
To be able to do it. But on the other hand, yours is a straightforward matter. You're mm-hmm. saying that some way, somehow you shouldn't be taxed. And in that regard, you're probably going to need about a $10,000 retainer to hire a young lawyer, male or female, to go in there and figure it out. Even if they don't know what they're doing in the beginning, read the damn statute. Figure it out, right? And get up in there and settle the matter, or save your license, save your business.
That's what you know, I have a suggestion. 508C18. Hold on, Zach. Let me say something. Here's the thing: is that I lost my train of thought. The excise tax. See, they bragged about finding a loophole to still charge us if we use synthetic nicotine. They bragged about finding a loophole.
Okay.
And I mean, I've got them dead to rights on how this is not the reason they did it is because they had this agreement with the tobacco companies to get a percentage of every stamp on a pack of cigarettes.
Okay, I see. So you feel like you really have a good case, a good factual case. Yeah, you'll find a lawyer.
I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for everybody.
Just stay away from the law firms. It's going to have to be law office of Betty Smith or law office of Jim Jones. Yeah, you're going to have to find a solo practitioner that's got a couple of associates.
You know, I have a really good idea here. Rain, have you thought about contacting Colin Truthmonger?
Yes, I've talked to Colin. Yes.
Okay, so he doesn't think he can help
you? I
haven't
talked to him about this,
though, actually. Oh, this is what you need to talk to him about. I mean, like, you know, he's not a lawyer, but, I mean, he has had tremendous success going up against the state in a variety of jurisdictions. So, I mean, and he knows how to pick apart these laws and the statutes to find your own loopholes that you can use.
Yeah. I've studied it. I could pick it apart. I just need to be able to get in there and do it. You know, I don't know that I have standing. I'm not a lawyer. I think I could represent myself. But I think that in this political climate right now, they would tear me apart.
Well, you know, a lot of my friends say if you were going to go to court, meaning, you know, the small people, the small number of people in our so-called freedom community, if you were going to have to go to court, you should go pro se, because once you get a lawyer, you know, you're a ward, you know, you're just kind of there at the officers of the court's beck and call. So a lot of times, if you can get the right legal assistance, you see what I mean? You get legal assistance and you file non-frivolous paperwork. You can represent yourself. You're darn right. Yes. You can. Why can't you represent yourself? But just make sure that the format is beautiful and the spelling is correct and you're not making crazy arguments. You know, you'll know the difference. It's pretty common.
Don't pull a Waukesha.
I worked in the legal field. My mom was the deputy assistant to the federal magistrate in the Western District for 22 years.
You know, I would represent myself. I mean, I would be a lawyer, so it wouldn't be hard for me to represent myself.
Right.
But if someone sued me, I'd just come in pro se, Gary Fielder. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't need to get a lawyer.
I don't know how to get my foot in that door. And Zach, that's a great, great, great suggestion about Colin. And here's where, and I'm going to end it here. And here's where I saw it went wrong. My parents owned a mobile home park back in 77. We built it, and my dad would only allow your mobile home could only be, you know, so old, and it had to be so long, and that it had to be 80 feet long. And the government came in and said, no, you can't do that. You got to blah, blah. And they did nothing. And we had a restaurant, and you could smoke in there. And they came in and said, you have to make a non-smoking section. And they said nothing. And then they came in and said, you can't smoke at all. And they said nothing. And then they came in and said, you have to smoke within 25 feet of the door. And they did nothing. And then they said, you can't smoke at all. And they did nothing. Well, I'm not doing nothing anymore. They've done enough, and we have to stop.
Right. Right. And when you say they've done nothing, meaning
they didn't say anything. They didn't step up and fight back.
Right. The your relatives in the restaurant just did it.
My mom
and dad. Yeah. Your mom and dad.
The whole community. I mean, the restaurant community.
Yeah, they just did it. Exactly. They just did it. And as we were talking about, almost 99 times out of 100, they get away with it. But when it comes to elections, do you see what I mean? Like when it comes to elections, now those are fighting words.
That is a farce. I mean, because, you know, like city councils, they shouldn't be calling the meetings. We, the people, should be calling the meetings and having the city council members come answer our questions. The school board shouldn't be calling the meetings. The PTA should be calling the school board in to answer the questions. That's how it's supposed to be.
Right. That's right. Well,
you're not supposed to have to vote them out. You're supposed to fire them if they don't do the correct job. We've just forgotten how to do it.
We just forgotten how to do it. That's right. That's right. We've forgotten how to do it. And then you wouldn't be having your price. See, your problem is a symptom of the system, because it's got to overtax and feed itself and constantly devise ways to revenue raise. And you're saying they targeted you too. They want to put you out of business.
No, they really did target me. They debanked me. My ATC agent, whenever they did that, you're non-essential, right? Mm-hmm. He called me. He said, Kim, somebody drove by your company and saw your open sign on and faxed a copy to Baton Rouge. He said, is somebody out to get you? I mean, they debanked us, and we have a permit to sell CBD, and they debanked us. Because my ATC guy told me to put it on my website when they deemed us non-essential. And there was nothing
I don't know all the details, but the bottom line is you may have a 1983 claim. You may have a civil rights claim. If you feel the government is participating in the violation
of
the
rights,
why wouldn't you have a 1983 claim? So yeah, just keep your chin up and keep going. But yeah, find a lawyer. Find a local lawyer with a Louisiana bar. At least consult with them. If you hire them or not, who cares? But consult with a good... good civil rights attorney.
And so you think this would be a civil rights case?
It's edging toward that way. Don't you feel like it? If they're really targeting you and they're doing more than just taxing you, they're trying to put you out of business. It could evolve into a civil rights case, but you don't need a tax lawyer is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
You don't need a tax lawyer. You need a good young general practitioner that's willing to read some code that you've already read. Bring in your folder, right? But you got to write a check. You can't just talk. You got to write a big retainer check. And then, every lawyer's at attention after that.
Yeah, and I don't have that's a problem with that. This is the battle I will fight. Yeah, I'm ready to fight this battle.
Something reasonable, not $150,000, but $10,000, something reasonable. So, it'll all work out. Just stay away from those big law firms because they're just not going to help you.
Is that what it is? Is the big law firm?
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, they're... They represent big companies and, like the state and insurance companies and, political parties, not you and me. They don't represent you and me.
I have felt like I have found out so much that I just feel like whether they tell me that, they work for the state, I just feel like they've all taken oath to the corporation of the state of Louisiana company. So they really have to protect that more than they have to protect me. And I truly wish I didn't feel that. And I hope that that's not true. But from everything I've found, it appears to be.
Well, I don't think anyone's really consciously doing it. I think a lot of lawyers are just self-interested and this is how they've always done it. And this is how they bill and this is who they work for. And no matter what side you're on, they kind of justify what they do. And they don't really, care what we're thinking about. And like I said, if you've got a pension, you're going to do whatever it takes to support the system and to support it ongoing, which often means the continued violation of our rights. So that's why it's up to the people to keep doing exactly what we're doing. And we would elect them all out if we could. We really could. We would, wouldn't we? We would elect them all out if we could. Yeah. But that's been the battle.
I truly appreciate y'all speaking with me. Zach, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
And it reminded me about Colin. I'm definitely going to reach out to Colin because he can definitely help me drop the paperwork for sure. I will find a local lawyer that's by herself or by himself, and I will get with them and get on this as a civil rights thing.
Yeah.
Thank y'all so much.
As an alternative, go into it with just your, hey, I don't owe you dime. Go into it like a declaratory judgment. But tack that on 1983, count four.
I'm gonna do that. And I've got your website too. I'm gonna get over there. Thank y'all so much for everything you're doing and good luck with it all.
All right, thank you.
All right,
thanks,
Rain.
Love you and talk to y'all later.
See ya. Rain, I got you on the tail end. I will tell Lisa that you said hello. She's listening. So, Lisa, hopefully you're out there in the chat. I don't know. All right, you guys, thank you for the suggestions on getting a salt gun. I've never heard of that before, but apparently you use them to shoot flies out of the sky. That would be something that I could definitely have here in the studio just in case we get another fruit fly like we just did. All right, we've got DJ Vector coming in next, and nobody else is on the line, guys, so... if you don't have any questions for these guys, then I don't know. I think you should definitely jump on the line and ask them your thoughts. What's going on, Vector? How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Zach, Red Pill 78, my friend. How you going? Hello, Ernie. Hello, Gary. I'm pretty sure I've spoken to you before on air, so lovely to talk to you again.
That's right.
How's things going for you?
I definitely remember.
You're getting there. Now you're getting to the Supreme Court. Now it's the game. I think they're going to accept the case. That's what I think. I think they're going to give you what you need, the cert. It's the certification, right? So that you get the rubber stamp from the Supreme Court. All right. Yeah. Well,
certiorari. If it's just the, yeah.
if it's Justice Clarence's opinions, then, you know, in some of that evidence, I can't see why they, you know, A, he wouldn't rule in your favor, but, you know, we'll see how we go, because I think it's a complicated business with the Supreme Court being split as it is. Nobody really knows what's going on with the Supreme Court at all. You know, like, it's very secretive. And I just wanted to make a comment about this, is that Trump, at his last rally, he was talking about finding the leaker of the Supreme Court, and that, you know, that person should go to jail, and they should get the source of information from the media and just say it's about national security, and then put that person in jail and become some prisoner's new bride, to quote President Trump. So I thought that was pretty funny for a start. And, you know, I think President Trump was saying a lot of stuff to us. Oh, and another thing he said, Zach, as well, and gentlemen, he talked about satanic ritual abuse. He mentioned that, like, straight up in one of his speeches. I don't think he's ever talked about that ever. So what are your comments about any of that? Hello, by the way.
Hello. Well, let me begin by backtracking a little bit, because we were talking about the different justices. And I'm really interested in what Justice Brown Jackson has to say, because there she's the new justice on the court, and she's going to deny citizens that have come to court under a Civil Rights Act and lack of standing to sue a big corporation.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I'm interested in her opinion, because, you know, we just assume it's going to be 5-4. We're going to win 9-0. There's no way any of those justices can say, oh no, these citizens, by the way, out of our original seven clients, three of them are African-American. There's no way they're going to say, oh no, these people have no standing to sue Mark Zuckerberg. You know,
yes,
see
but
what
Gary,
I mean?
She doesn't know what a woman is. She can't define a woman. I mean, how's she ever going to vote on anything to do with abortions or women's rights or anything like that? These people are scammers. They just keep moving the goalposts, and they just keep making stuff up as they go along to confuse dumb people. But, you know, because nobody knows what the Constitution says. Nobody knows anything. You know, everyone's just so uneducated these days, even though we've got as much information at our fingertips in the history of the world, yet people are as dumb as they've ever been in the history of the world. So this frustrates me, and it's hard following politics when, you know, if it was just clear cut and straight and everyone followed the law and we had elections and all that kind of stuff, that would just be beautiful. But no, it's not like that at all. It's just a big scam. And, you know, I got kind of discouraged hearing you speak earlier, and I was like, oh, geez, we're kind of effed here. But hopefully, you know, this isn't the case. Either way, we can't give up, ladies and gents. You know what's at stake here. So I don't want to be blackpilling anyone, because that is not the case. 100% go vote, go represent, go and do what you got to do, because anyone that says don't vote is an idiot, and they don't have your best interests at heart. So that's what I think. Go ahead, sir.
Tend to agree.
Well, I also don't want to be a black pill. There's always a political solution. I'm just worried because I've spent my whole adult life researching totalitarian and communist movements, and they're very serious. And we could all imagine a world where we got along, and it would be so fun and so creative. And I, you know, Australia, New Zealand, I feel so bad for those countries. I feel so bad for Canada and Great Britain and France and Germany. I feel so horrible for the Ukraine. I feel so bad for Russians. We would all get along. You know, even our Chinese brothers and sisters, we would all get along. We could do it. But these warmongers, and these people that just want to depopulate this whole vaccine thing, when is that going to collapse? Tell us what's going on. I mean, we're just assuming that Australia is going to lead the way on the collapse of the vaccine thing. Give us the update on that. When is it really going to collapse?
It's happening now. People are getting sick, and Australians are the kind of people that will go along with a lot of stuff. But when they find out that they've been hoodwinked like this at this level, and our politicians and leaders have got stakes, you know, and all sorts of dodgy connections with the vaccine companies and all of their agendas, everything to do with mask wearing and all of the useless other things that everyone in the rest of the world has had to put up with. Now, it's going to be much serious. I'm expecting people to be tried, if found guilty, to be, you know, sent to jail. You know, there's no way out of it. No one is getting away with this in Australia. That's a fact. I don't care who they are. If they've broken the law and they've broken the public trust and they've poisoned us with this garbage, then they are going to be paying for this with jail time, with their money, all of it. You know, this is disgusting and appalling. So to talk about all of that stuff. But it's not just that. It's the excuse, the scam of COVID that they used to take away all of our rights as well. And now they're signing over our country to the World Health Organization, and they can do whatever they want in the name of having their global government. And you see, you have to understand, this is why they're destroying the West. It all starts with the family unit. It all starts with, you know, all these abortions and indoctrinating our children with critical race theory and gender fluidity, and then bringing in all these, you know, hormone blockers and other things so that our kids can be, you know, then mutilated. And it's all funded and all of that. So abortion and all of that's pretty bad here in Australia. It's just as bad as in the United States. I have to make the comments about there are more Black babies that are aborted then born in New York, apparently, and in Georgia and places like that. So This is becoming a sickening issue all around the world. And, you know, that this is why the country is being broken down. It's all very, very deliberate. All of the ownership of the media, they're trying to destroy us. It's a full attack on humanity, but especially the United States, A, for what it represents, freedom, free speech, all of that kind of stuff, being able to defend yourself, having a go and becoming successful. No wonder everybody wants to come to our countries in the first place. But if they can, they can't destroy America, then they can't have their new world order. And for whatever sick reason, they just want to break America for no reason, because as Peter Tichtin said, they just want to break everything and they think it's going to make things better, but it isn't. It isn't going to make things better to destroy America. It will destabilize the whole world. And that's what's happening now. Look at what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. So we might all be dead next week. You just don't know. So sorry to rant, but I'm getting pretty passionate about this stuff.
You're good.
Well, you know, we always talk about having a constitutional convention here, but we don't need one. Australia needs a constitutional convention. You need to completely separate from Great Britain, have a president, have a constitution. You see what I mean? You know, own yourself.
But the leftists are using sovereign. That, bro. They're using that here to turn Australia into a republic. But the left are doing it in such a way where they're going to bring in a system that's going to destroy the country. So if we have a system that's like the United States, as far as the constitution, you know, the First and Second Amendments and all of that, the Bill of Rights in particular, we don't have any of that here, man. Like, you know,
we got to be able to possess firearms. Yeah.
You know how dangerous it is?
Yeah.
Every country needs the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ernie and Gary and Zach, you guys must understand how dangerous it is for me to speak like this.
Of course.
I understand. I do.
I don't have the same protections that you do. So I need to be extremely careful. I don't talk about my own government or necessarily happening in Australia for obvious reasons that don't need to be explained. And my focus is on U.S. politics and global geopolitics.
There you go. Well, thank you for that, too. We're just always interested in the supporting your country as well. So, and thank you for focusing on the United States, because, you know, in the end, we're going to get it back. It just may not be in 2 years or 6 years or 8 years, but it could be that long of a fight. And that's what we have to be in for, because it's really not for us. It's for our unborn children who aren't even here yet.
Yes.
I have little children and they don't know what's going on, but they're going to be 25 in about a blink of an eye. And then they're going to be 50 and I'm going to be long gone. So the whole point is we have to do this no matter how long it takes, because you're right. If America goes down, it's Katie bar the door after that.
Yes,
it'll be a domino effect after that. No one will have any chance because everyone's been disarmed. You know, and that's just the reality of the situation. Hate to be so cold blooded about it, but we're not disarmed. And
Gary, can I make a final point? Because I'm sure you've got other callers, but the First Amendment, free speech is non-negotiable. We can't negotiate with terrorists, and we don't. The Second Amendment shall not be infringed, and shall not mean shall not from my cold dead hands. I'll quote Charlton Heston. For on behalf of my U.S. patriot friends, the Second Amendment is the glue that keeps the United States together. And it's the deterrent that that makes sure that you have the lifestyle and you can do the things that you need to do. Now, the United States is the glue that keeps the rest of the world together. So if the rest of if America falls, Australia and the rest of the world are proper effed. And I know this. So if I want help for my country from our greatest allies, well, then you turn to America and America is being gang raped by all these globalist POSs. And we can't have that. So this is why people around the world need to understand that America first isn't them being selfish or anything like that. No, we must save America. There is no other way. This is it. This is the last stand. And if America falls, the rest of the world is going to just descend into tyranny and chaos, a technotronic prison, the likes of which you've never seen before, with central bank digital currencies and all the rest of it. So I'm this is prophecy. This is, will happen. I'm pretty sure you guys know that they're planning all this stuff, and they just can't wait to do this great reset, collapse the entire system, the whole financial system, and destroy the primacy of the US dollar in particular, which is still strong right now because there is nothing else, but they're looking for everything that they can do to destroy it. So anyway, maybe I'm going a bit too deep, but
sorry. No, you're opening my eyes about it. I mean, I've got a fresh new appreciation about the importance of America. I mean, just in the last 2 minutes. I mean,
I really do.
You're really opening my eyes on the important. I mean, I never thought of America first like you just described it. And now I'm seeing it in an entirely different way, you know? So I really appreciate that.
I swore my life to the United States, to my own country, to the Constitution, the people, the Bill of Rights, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I've taken my pledge of allegiance to the flag as well. You know, we are shoulder to shoulder. We must do this together. We've always fought together, and now we've got a good reason to do it and save our children's future. So don't worry about the Australian accent. This is global. This is the spirit of America all around the world and is literally unstoppable because the globalists did not expect people like me and my ilk to be turning around and actually fighting like this hard for the United States because we understand what's actually going on, you know? So I'll leave it at that anyway. So well, I really appreciate you.
Before you go, believer in conspiracy over on Rumble says this Australian guy is awesome. And I wanted to make sure that he was aware that you can go to Vector's channel. You can search DJ Vector and it'll pop up and you can subscribe to him there. He has his own program. He has his own show. He's also a very talented musician. So definitely go subscribe to Vector and you will get all kinds of content like this all the time.
Now, DJ,
go ahead.
Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am. I'm at DJ Vector 117 on Twitter. Nice. So, they haven't thrown me off, especially considering when I do my show, I'm extremely politically incorrect on purpose because I'm trying to shock people and get their attention, especially with my accent and the infotainment aspect of all of this. But really, there's a much bigger process of gaining the attention of normies and younger people through memetics and music and special effects.
Through music, of course. As well as everything else.
It's subliminal, it's subconscious, and it shows people that using Australian larrikinism, irreverent humor to shock people, Crocodile Dundee style, is going to be extremely effective to the US audience. And we must get into the hearts and minds of the people in the United States because that's the key here. The rest of the world, we already know what's going on there. It's a basket case. But the US must be fixed. So in November, ladies and gents, make sure you vote. Make sure you participate. Make sure you run for office. This is going to be a generational fight and we can never, ever give up. So, you know, now I understand and I really do feel like I'm doing my job and I'm a child of America and I'm serving my country by doing this in the first place because it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. All right, Vector, I love you and thank you so much for calling in, brother. Stay strong and thank you for doing what you do.
I love you guys. Thank you. Till next time. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you.
Now, Zach, look how much look how much more popular DJ Vector would be on Twitter. I'm not advertising Twitter.
Sure.
I'm just saying, look how much more popular he would be on Twitter if you were on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Look how much more popular Dominion Class Action would be if you were on Twitter. Yep. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
We get no reach. Everybody loves you. And I'm not trying to stroke you. I'm just saying everybody loves you. You really, and it's not controversial. You just have good guests on and you ask them simple questions and they talk for a long time. It's kind of like the Duran, you know, like they have good, you know, they got guests on.
Yep.
So why would you, even X22, and it's pretty mainstream what he talks about. Why isn't he on Twitter? Why isn't Alex Jones on Twitter? Why isn't Roger Stone on Twitter? Even if you hate those guys, why aren't they on Twitter? So
we're dangerous.
Pretty crazy. Just pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Because it really is. You get millions of people, you know, theoretically, you could get a lot of a big following. And then if you gave someone the blessing like DJ Vector, then his whole audience would open up to how cool he is. So they really did you a dirty deed. By taking you off Twitter. We got to restore that account. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. Apparently, Elon Musk is instituting some type of a governance board or something to take a look at what will and will not be allowed on Twitter. But, you know, I mean, I did hear initially that he was going to be reversing all bans and doing away with permanent bans. But I mean, I think there are things that they can argue. People should be like, if you, you know, threaten to kill somebody or and you keep you're stalking and harassing them, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, that's nothing we were doing. Also, Rain, who had called in initially, said, thank you, Zach. That call meant so much to me, and I love all of you. Together we can do this. I will totally second that. And then Freight Awakening says, my last question was pretty real regarding lawsuit versus major corp and health cost increase. Now I want to know if these fine men think Corn Pop was a good or a bad dude. I vote good dude. Corn Pop was the guy that, of course, Joe Biden almost got into a knife fight with outside of that Delaware pool. he asked this of the guests last night. So he also said, the company I work for, a big bank, has been charging unvaccinated employees an extra $100 for our healthcare each month because we are more likely to be hospitalized. With real data coming out, can we sue them and win? It seems like a pretty unfair and arbitrary policy to institute, making people get have more expensive insurance and more expensive health care simply because they didn't want to take an unnecessary medication. And obviously, you know, more people are finding out that it really wasn't a good idea to do in the first place. And we got a bunch of people dying. And, you know, I think in Korea, they just had 50 people have a heart attack in a single day. I don't know why. But I know that they have a pretty high vaccinated population. Ernie, any thoughts?
I know that. I from my personal experience, our healthcare insurance is. I guess we get a credit towards our healthcare insurance if we accumulate so many points that are based on our overall health. And one of the things that they give us a huge amount of points for is taking the COVID shot.
Oh, wow.
So basically saying, go take the COVID shot, you will have to pay less for your health insurance. Now, I don't have to necessarily take the COVID shot. I can get points doing other things too, but you know, it's like 10 points, run 2 miles, you get 10 points. You get the COVID shot, you get like 2,500 points, you know, kind of thing. You know,
that's insane.
That's just preparing you for the social credit score. Mm-hmm. The ARP commercials of, you know, those ARP commercials where you're getting on your cell phone. And if you go for a walk, you get ARP points, all these things are preparing us. But to answer the question of the caller, it all starts with a letter and it all starts with you. So you write your boss and CC it to the general manager and CC it to corporate. And you say whatever you want to say. Hey, you guys owe me $1,400 because over the last 14 months, you've been charging me $100. You see what I mean? See, that goes back to this nominal damages. Now, we're not talking about civil rights, but we are talking about $800 or $600, however much he lost. Okay.
Yep.
But if you times that by the number of other employees who lost the same amount, that's, you know, that's called a class action. Mm-hmm. That's a lawyer wouldn't be interested in taking your lousy $600 case, but a group of lawyers might be interested in taking on, you know, 1,000 employees that lost that kind of money. So it starts with a mean letter. Stop doing it. I'm not paying it. Mm-hmm. And then getting a lawyer. And then the lawyer writes a nasty letter. It's called a demand letter. Stop doing that. Give me my client's money back. That's where every lawsuit starts. Stop doing that. And then, you know, again, if a lawyer or you want to file an action, there's 10 of you. Why wouldn't 10 of you say, well, we all work in the same bank and we're sick of this extra $100 a month. Well, this is not civil rights. Well, still, you know, it's there's a lawsuit in there somewhere. It's unfair. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's arbitrary. It's capricious. It's a breach of employment contract. It's something. Be creative. The whole point is it's totally wrong. Mm-hmm. And the persons that should be paying the extra $100 is the vaccinated.
Right.
Really. I mean, that's who should be paying the extra $100. So, there's always something to do. And then you could walk with your feet by quitting your job. But yeah, you see what I mean? You just got to get creative. How much is the harm? It's only $100 a month. Everybody just puts up with it. But then after a year, it's $1,200. Well, write a nasty letter and then go see a lawyer and pay a consultation fee and pay $1,500 to have them write a nasty letter. Do you see what I mean? If mm-hmm. you don't stand up for your rights, who's going to stand up for them?
Correct.
Even if they're not civil rights, state action, if your boss is messing with your autonomy, you know, and trying to get you to take a vaccine that's dangerous. And that's the other part. I mean, that's part of the reason they're charging you the $100 is not to try to make an extra $100 off you, but to try to get you to take the shot. So that's the manipulation. That's even worse than them charging you the $100 is the manipulation. How many people have given in your company because they didn't want to pay the $100
right.
to take the shot? That's another yeah. fact you discover in discovery. And then all the other people that took the shot would also join the lawsuit because they'd be pissed off that they took the shot. So yeah, it's all gonna unravel here very, very soon. This is, you know, but that's good. I can't wait for that to unravel.
I can't wait for that. I'm looking forward to that one for sure.
I'm looking forward to that.
So here is actually something that just on this subject, I haven't had a chance to mention it yet, but there is a new sponsor of the show. It's the same people who were working with Dr. Zelenko on his nutraceuticals before he passed away. It's called The Wellness Company, and it's something that I've talked about having a need for on the show before. It's like a healthcare cooperative. So you pay like a yearly fee to join the cooperative, and they have a network of doctors that are not going to force you to get the jab or even suggest that you get the jab. You can also choose to go with total homeopathic healthcare, and their access to their services is discounted when you're a part of the group. It's called The Wellness Company, and if you use code RP78, you get 5% off. And so I'm just going to share that information here. This is actually something I'm doing because I've had insurance that I couldn't use for the last year living here in Florida because for whatever reason, nobody accepts this insurance and it's garbage. So I'm going to share that out there. And I'd love to hear if you guys get into this and you use The Wellness Company and if you find some benefit in it, because, you know, finding a doctor that isn't going to suggest you get the jab right now is a little difficult. All right. A mention from earlier in the show, Colin is on the line. We're bringing him in. And Colin, welcome to the program. Good to see you again.
For whatever reason, yep. Nobody accepts this insurance and it's garbage. So I'm going to share that out.
All right, there we go.
All right, excellent, excellent. So Colin, hearing Rain discuss her issue, does that sound like something you might be able to assist her with?
I just got a call from somebody. I'm out of town on a big meeting. It was a great day. Somebody called and told me that I should call in. So is that Gary?
Yeah, it's Gary and Ernie.
Hey, hi, Ernie. Yeah, it is. How you doing? Hey, I heard from you guys. What happened? I took about 2 days to write you that 5-page or 3-page, whatever it ended up being, about the 11th Amendment. Did you get it and read it?
I'm sure we did. I'm sure it's in my office. I've just got I've been doing like back to back jury trials and we've been working on this petition forever. We're just exhausted.
I got you. Yeah. I know what that's like.
But I know, I know exactly what desk it's on and I know exactly where it's at in my mind. I just got to get after it.
All right. Cause it's just really weird when, you know, I don't get any communication back and then I don't get, you know, from these and this and then right in the middle of something. So I didn't know what to think, whether I was being banned or,
at all. It's just a matter of being completely overwhelmed and working, hours a day. It's crazy.
I gotcha.
It's insanity.
All right. So what was this thing?
Rain. Okay. So this is something to do with an excise tax on Rain's Nick Vapor products that she and her husband makes. They've essentially treated her nicotine vapor as if it is a pack of cigarettes. So like they wanted her to tax it as if it was cigarettes, even though they're using synthetic nicotine. It's nothing derived from the tobacco plant. And and she said that based upon the laws as she has them, they are outside of their legal boundaries to do this. And they basically just told her that she owes them 20 grand and there's nothing she can do about it. So
you can give her my information. I can talk to her, but it sounds like is it a corporation or some kind of LLC or business or anything? Or is it private?
I believe she has a corporation or an LLC, but it's the state of Louisiana that is coming after her. And she has tried to find legal representation there locally. And every single lawyer that she's found and spoken with said that they can't represent her because it's a conflict of interest because they already represent the state. And I thought that was interesting, you know, that what are the chances every single lawyer in her local area has already, you know, been given a $20 retainer or something? I mean, maybe they did that on purpose so nobody could hire
them. They're considered officers of the court. So technically speaking, they are representing the state, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a conflict no matter what. By the way, speaking of which, I wanted to mention, I think, I don't know if I mentioned, but I want to mention it to these two gentlemen here. For the first time since, I don't know, 10, 15 years now, I've had certified, notarized POAs, power of attorneys. And two times, one in a state court and in a federal court, I was denied the opportunity to speak because I did not hold a bar card. Now, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Now, I did get it on the record. I asked the question. I said, oh, so you're admitting on the record. I was talking to the judge. I said, so you're admitting on the record that this is not a proper Article 3 constitutional court, but rather a private bar association meeting. No rebuttal. So we, you know, on that case, we kind of got it on the record. But I wanted to know if you guys knew of this. I mean, they're plainly out in the open. Congress has said that the bar association is a socialist organization twice years ago. I'm just curious as to what your response is, the fact that they're completely ignoring and will not allow POWs anymore. I mean, power of POA, sorry.
Well, I don't know what to say about that other than, you know, I think that, you know, I think sometimes there's a confusion. Like if you're a member of the American Bar Association, you mm-hmm. send in a dues check, you become a part of this association, you get a magazine once a month. And then all of a sudden, the so-called American Bar Association starts contributing to all these progressive ideas and doing all these progressive things. And they're a so-called communist organization. Well, that's just the American Bar Association. That we don't even talk to them or anything like that. But I'm not associated with it. I don't think Ernie is either. We don't associate with any of those so-called bar associations or the different, what are they called? That, you know, they're connected to the British system. You know, they have them here and they have
British accredited registry. Yeah. All that.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what you think about the fact that the judge would actually say, if you're not a member of the bar and you don't have a license to practice, we cannot hear you. And that's the first time when I was doing one with, what's it called? Homeland Security. Uh-huh. The judge actually asked me because I was the woman was fumbling and so on, cross-examining, mm-hmm. and I was trying to help her as best I could. The judge says, do you want him to act as, do you want to give him power of attorney? And the woman said, yes. And the judge literally wrote it out on the paper in hand and had her sign it. Right. And I conducted the rest of the trial.
Right.
And, but now here I am both in a federal court and in a state court just recently. It's the first time it's ever happened. No, you're not a member of the bar. You can't speak. We won't hear you. And then they turn my mic off.
The ends of court, that's what I was thinking about. There, the ends of court you can belong to. Well, they're very progressive outfits, but that doesn't mean that all lawyers are barristers or whatever. But in your situation, we were just talking about this before you got on. For people that run in our neck of the woods, you know, most of us would go into court pro se. We would want to be pro se. We wouldn't want a lawyer. But if you can't have a power of an attorney, well, then how could you be pro se? So it's really the right of the person to speak pro se through their designated counsel, not right to an attorney, right to counsel. So what would you do? You would file an injunction. You would file an appeal. Those judges are wrong and you know, they're wrong. And there's been no rule changes or whatever, but they just punched the button. And it seems like a conspiracy, and it seems like officers of the court are the barristers of the inn. No, it's not. It's just judges making mistakes. They make mistakes all day, every day. And you need to do something. You need to file an appeal, because then the appeal is just the ivory tower. They're just reading briefs. How could an appeals court issue a decision that supports the person's power of attorney not being able to speak in open court? I mean, that's just preposterous. That is outrageous.
So would I do a writ of mandamus then?
You could go to the Supreme Court, you know, or go to the local federal court. I mean, if it's a state court, I would do a writ of mandamus in whatever state Supreme Court you're in. And I mean, I'd get to the bottom of that. But even if you don't get emergency relief, if they lose the action because you weren't able to speak, well, there's going to have to be an appeal, and it's going to have to be overturned because you weren't able to speak.
That's one of the reasons why. That's one of the reasons why I haven't taken any action. And in one of the cases, anyway, in the state case, it turned out to be a real blessing, because the attorney that we found was the original attorney who wrote the trust. And he's very, very awake in a good sense. And he's on the ball. He's like, oh, these people, they're fried, because they're trying to steal this woman's estate is what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. Okay, so you got relief on that. But yeah, I could see that happening, where some lady comes in, brings a person like you in, and they say, oh, you're not a member of the bar. No, she's pro se. I'm her representative, and I've got power of attorney. Wow. I can't believe a judge would do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at the very least, I should do something about that issue alone. Am I correct? Because that's a denial of right. At least that's what 42-1983, at least, right?
That's a lack of due process. Absolutely. I mean, you have a right to speak in court, and you have a right to have a representative in court. I always call it caveman law. If you were a little scrawny person, your uncle could always stand up for you in the cave and say, hey, leave my nephew alone. You see what I mean? Like, the big caveman could stand up. Well, that's what you are. You're the big cave. Hey, leave this lady alone.
That's right.
You've always been able to do that. Now, if you didn't have the power of attorney, you'd need to be a bar member.
Right.
Then the judge would just shut you down.
Right. But, this was fully done, notarized, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, exactly. So, you got to do something. Now, I never suggest filing professional grievances, because that's karma. I mean, who would want that?
But what did you say? You don't.
You should file violence.
What?
Well, no, a grievance. Like, you know, you should grieve that lawyer, or you should file a complaint against that judge. I try to stay away from that, because, you know, that's karma. You know, I don't like people grieving me. I don't like people filing complaints against me. But sometimes, if you have to file something against a judge, you have to do it.
Yeah,
you have to file a complaint with the judicial committee watchmen or whatever. You have to do it.
I guess I could go to what is that? Win with the bonds, or bonds
for the win. Yeah. Try it out.
So anyway, like I say, Zach, if you want to give her my info, I'll do what I can do to help out a little bit.
I think she's got your number already. She said that she was going to call you in the chat. But just in case you don't have it, you can reach him at continuedcompetencytraining@proton.me.
Correct.
At proton.me. Okay, awesome. Yeah. All right, Colin, we got to bounce. We are at the end of the show, but I'm glad you called in, buddy. Good to see you again.
Blessings, and thank you, Gary, and have a great night.
I promise I'll get back to you. It might be a month or so, but I'll get back to you.
Okay. I appreciate it, because I'd like you to read it, because I went to a lot of trouble. I thought you'd enjoy it.
I will.
And I cross-reference it and everything.
Okay.
You know, I didn't do the format. I didn't have time, but I thought it was I thought it was pretty daggone good, and I'd love to hear if you have an argument that was, you know, shoot it down or whatever, because, you know, I'm going to move forward. By the way, you're too busy now, but I'd love to get somebody who wants to help. I figured out how we can vacate the unlawful, what do they call that, election.
Oh, how would that be?
Well, it's actually quite simple. And you guys, in fact, correct me on this. If the states, because the states are the ones that they are guided by federal rules, but the states are the ones that have the responsibility of creating the ballots and counting the ballots and so on, and then they certify it, right?
Right.
If somebody is on the ballot that is not eligible, that's an invalid ballot right at the beginning, isn't it?
It could be. Are you talking about the vice president?
You betcha.
Kamala.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
She's not a natural born citizen.
That's right. Yep. On either side. On either side. On either side.
And so the states are put together an invalid ballot, which means that it cannot be certified, can they?
That's right. That's right. And that is a good point. I made that same point in 2008. If you have one parent, well, if the whole birth certificate was a red herring, the whole point was if Barack Obama's dad was born in Africa, he's not a natural born citizen.
That's correct.
Through his own admission.
That's correct.
Through his own admission, birth certificate, who cares where he was born?
Exactly. And
so that was an illegitimate election. 2012 was.
That's correct.
I'm just stating the law. You could love Obama. I'm just stating the law.
Sure.
And you're right. 2020 is similarly invalid.
I got one other quick question for you. I haven't looked it up, but I mean to. I believe in the Constitution, it says somebody who has committed, I don't know if it says has been found guilty, has committed high crimes, misdemeanors, or treason, are also ineligible for any office. Now, we have prima facie evidence two times. And remember, it says by the witness of two or more or confession in open court, which is the open courtyard, which is in public, that he is that by dumb has admitted that we have the most sophisticated fraudulent vote counting system. And the other one was, look at it. He did fire him, the one that was going to be investigated, that was going to investigate his son. So we have two incidences of definitely high crimes and misdemeanors. Therefore, he's not eligible for any position of public trust, which again, now what I was thinking of doing when I presenting it to the Supreme Court, I would put both of them in there knowing that one's a slam dunk, but also feeling out how they feel about whether you have to be convicted first or whether they have confessed in public to the crimes, whether that's sufficient or not. You follow me thinking?
I follow you. And the whole point is, depending upon the ultimate finding in our case, if the people had the power to bring their own civil rights actions, we'd be doing things like this. And why wouldn't we have the power to do that? That seems ridiculous that we wouldn't have the power to
do
that.
We do have it.
So, of course we do.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. They'd like us to believe that we don't have the
power.
All right,
well, thank you, Zach.
All right, Colin, we got to bounce, buddy. Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. God bless. We'll see you next time. All right, you guys, before we end real quick, I just need to say through the thank yous over here on Buy Me a Coffee. Andrew, thank you very much for that coffee. Lou Ann V, thank you for the shades. Sean Joe, appreciate that cookie. Matt 1776, he says nothing better than RP78 on a Saturday night. Liberty Bells says much love, Red Pill. God bless you and thank you for all you do. Low Country Brooklyn dropped the link to the Dominion Class Action .com lawsuit website. Matt 1776, thank you for that can. C. Blanche said, fuck with the PH, our crooked government. Godspeed, fam. Empress says, one of your best shows ever. Thank you very much. I couldn't do it if it weren't for these guys. Zozo Dude, good to see you, buddy. He said, as always, RP, great guests and a fascinating topic. Elizabeth G. says, not to brag, but even as a Canadian, I know and understand more about the U.S. Constitution than the libtards. Empress, thank you again for that cookie and that phone and that can and that cookie and that cookie. And then Anandoc says, the WHO is attacking Australia. Counterattack by finding a way to shut down the WHO. Empress, thank you for that cookie. Michelle Ann says, great, great caller. Thank you. Cuba Anon says, this is the last stand. Empress said, at last, Mimsy, I see your can and I raise you a cookie. And then at Cuba Anon, I see your phone and raise you a cookie. Empress then dropped another cookie and then said, Red Pill 78, is there a class action lawsuit against the Facebook fact checkers yet? Not that I am aware of. Matt 1776 says, cheers tonight, gentlemen. Skeeter Burke said, here's a cookie to go with your drink. And then Matt said, here is a cookie to go with your cookie, Skeeter. And Empress said, Skeeter Burke, I see your cookie and raise you a cookie. So let me just very quickly make sure there's nothing over here on Lisa's Cash App, because, of course, I don't have a Cash App. And yes, Jerry, thank you very much, Jerry. No message, but a donation over on Cash App. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, guys, as always, what would you most like the audience to take away from the conversation tonight? And what should we be looking for to stay abreast of what's happening in this case?
Well, I would just say state action, state action, state action. Steve Bannon needs to start talking about state action and the Constitution. Mike Lindell, who I don't know, I don't talk to Mike Lindell. He needs to start talking about Section 1983 and state action. Mm-hmm. General Flynn needs to talk about 1983 and state action. I don't talk to General Flynn. Patrick Byrne needs to start talking about civil rights, class action, 1983, the Constitution, due process, First Amendment, equal protection. What in the heck is going on? Why can't we get anyone to talk about state action and the Constitution? It's really distressing. It's really distressing. Those are my final thoughts. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for having us, Zach. You're the man.
Always. Love having you here. And Ernie, how about you, sir?
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to go back and look through our pleadings and refresh your recollection about everything that's going on. Go to dominionclassaction.com and really help donate to the cause too. I mean, that's really one place where people can really help out the most right now is to help donate either through dominionclassaction.com or to the 501 charity that is really helping support us to save our suffrage. I think their website is sos.vote. So I think you can go to either one of those two sites and help us in our cause.
Okay, excellent. Once again, appreciate you guys being here. Thank you for all your efforts. Thank you to everybody out there in the audience. I think that tomorrow I'm going to finally get the finishing touches on my studio. I'll take some pictures and I'll show you guys what I've done. I'm pretty excited about it. There's a couple of little pieces that are going to be coming, but I will now have my regular recording area over here and then like a physical interview section over on the other side of the room. And so I'm hoping to bring you guys some live interviews recorded from this studio space. So Gary and Ernie, thank you very much, guys. One more time, thank you to everybody out there in the audience. I appreciate all of you. Good luck and God bless. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you.